This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You have to have two things. One is iman. certain response that they're having. What were those two responses? What were the two responses? Patience, and what was the other one? Gratitude. And so we're told, and so we're taught, that the believer goes between these two, between patience and gratitude. You see, when you change the way you see, when you change your lens, when you change the way you understand your life, when you change the way you understand your life changes. That's an awesome meaning right there, man. When you change the way you understand your life changes. And that's because we see things differently. And so when you go back to the question of why do bad things happen to good people, you will find that no matter what happens to a good person, it's actually not bad. It's actually good. And then I'll go on and I'll explain how. But before I do that, I want to get a little bit deeper into why we struggle with this question. Why do people struggle with the question of why do bad things happen to good people? Do you know what the problem is with this question? You know what the problem is? Does anyone know what the problem is with this question? Anyone? Yes.
You're questioning Allah's will.
True. But there's something else more obvious that's problematic with this question. You know what it is? It's your definitions. You guys follow it. It's your definition of good and bad. Make sense? So here's the problem. People of dunya. Are you guys following, by the way? Okay, because y'all have blank faces. I forgot to put my little disclaimer at the beginning where I ask everyone to make faces. Please make faces. Okay. The problem is in the definition of good and bad. The people of dunya define good how? Materialistic. Getting what you want when?
When we want it.
In this life, right? Okay. So the people of dunya define good as any increase in dunya. Any increase in dunya is defined as good. Meaning, you win the lottery, that's a good thing that happened to you. You got a promotion, that's a good thing that happened to you. Anything that is increased in dunya is by definition, in their mind, in their definition, the people of dunya as good, right? Following? And then what's the definition of bad? Any loss in general, any loss of dunya. So the loss of money, the loss of something that you want, something that you love, is by definition bad, right? Everyone following? But you see, the problem with that definition is it is limited to this life. And are we limited to this life? Do you know how long this life is? Okay, so that's how you live 100, maybe over 100 years. Right? How long are we going to live? How long do we exist? Does anyone know? Exactly. Eternity. So what we're talking about is we're talking about 100 years compared to eternity. It's not only this life. You see the attitude, the YOLO attitude? Took like 5 minutes. The YOLO attitude is you only live once. And so if you're only going to live once, then the definition is only based on this life. If I lose dunya, something bad happened to me. Here's the problem. Our existence is not limited to this life, and therefore the definition of good and bad is not limited to this life. So now let's redefine these words based on reality, capital R. Because what's reality? Let's go back to the fundamentals. What is reality? Reality is we live in this life for a limited amount of time, right? And then we go to eternity. Fair enough? That's reality. So this life is just one little tiny part of our entire existence. That's reality. So now I want you to now realize
brings me... Y'all can finish my sentence. Anything that brings me closer to Allah is good. And anything that takes me away is bad. Do you understand what we've just done? We've completely redefined good and bad. And now the question changes. Right? Because now the definition of good and bad becomes what brings me closer to Allah is good and what takes me away is bad. Now, if I go back and I redefine my past, yeah? Now I redefine my past because now I look at my life experiences and I'm not just looking at what got me more money and what got me more power, what got me more status. Now I'm looking at my proper definition. What was it again? Did it bring me closer to Allah or did it take me away? By changing the definition, define our past. Are you guys following? So now I look at my past experiences and I ask this question. I don't ask anymore, did I lose? Did I gain? Did I get rich? Yeah? Instead I ask, did I get closer to Allah? It's really very simple. This experience in my life, did it bring me closer to Allah? Did it make me a better person? Did it make me a better person? Or did this experience take me away from Allah? Did it make me a worse person? And that's how we define good and bad. You understand what that does? What that does is it gives you a completely different definition of your story. Everybody has a story, right? Yeah? Y'all aren't very expressive. It's like, yeah. Y'all have a story, right? Because certain things have happened to you. Yes or no?
Yes.
Certain things are happening to you right now. Yes or no?
Yes.
Certain things will continue to happen to you in the future. Yes or no?
Yes.
And it all has to do with how you understand it and how you define it. When you go back and you redefine your understanding of your story, it absolutely transforms you. It transforms you and it revolutionizes life. I want you guys to think for a moment, just for a second, about a very painful experience in your life. Okay? Now, when you bring that to mind, I want you now to ask, okay, so you have probably defined this painful experience as something bad. Am I right? Probably? Yes? Okay. I want you guys to go back and do something. I want you to ask this question. This experience that happened to you, did it bring you closer to Allah or did it take you away from it? That's the question. You don't have to answer out loud. But I want you to ask yourself that question. This painful experience that you have, either in the past or in the present, is it or did it bring you closer to Allah or did it take you away? And when you answer that question, then you can understand whether it was good or whether it was bad. Make sense? Whether it was good for you or whether it was bad for you. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything randomly. Everything Allah gives us is for a purpose. And everything Allah takes from us is for a purpose. Every experience is for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You know what this ayah means? This ayah means that indeed in the creation of the heavens and earth and the alteration of night and day are signs for those of understanding. أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Who are these people? Who are the people of understanding? These are the people. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Okay. I know people walking in is very interesting. So here's the thing. in reading. Read, okay. But he didn't know how to read. Right? He was unlettered. He did not read books. But he's being asked to read. And even when he is insisting, I don't know how, and a man they call it, I don't know how to read, he is again being told, read. So obviously there's a reason why he's being told to read, right? And then Allah said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So now it's a completely different understanding of reading here. Allah says, read in the name of your Lord. You see, there's different kinds of reading. There's reading in a book, like I'm reading this. And it's telling me to flip my eye.
Experiences were not created without purpose.
create anything without a purpose. Allah doesn't do anything without a purpose. What that brings us to is the realization that everything in my life had a purpose. You ready? Even the pain. Even the things that hurt us. Even the struggles. Even the loss. It all had a purpose. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't like Allah made a mistake, I will do that. And guess what else? Sometimes people think that they go through pain because Allah is displeased with them. Sometimes people think that pain is a punishment. Why do you think that? Right? But the Prophet is telling us that even pain, even hardship is good for the believer. Because it brings the believer closer to Allah through patience. Alright. Now I'm going to ask you guys a question because you are so enthusiastic. Here's my question. How do you know if some hardship that's happening to you is a punishment or a test slash lesson? Yes.
If it brings you closer to Allah, then it wasn't a punishment.
Okay, got 100% on that, Bobbler. She got it right on. If it brings you closer to Allah, then it was not a punishment. It was actually good for you. It was obviously a test in you. It was a blessing because it brought you closer to Allah. If it takes you away from Allah, then that's a sign that in fact you do need to do some internal work, obviously. And that internal work involves a lot of tawbah. What's tawbah? Repentance. Because the fact that you are getting away from Allah is a sign that you need to repent. There's a problem inside, and it happens because of our sins. It happens because of our sins. See, the thing is with sins is it tarnishes the heart. Allah tells us that sins, Allah is the messenger teacher, that sins put black spots on the heart. And when the heart is covered with black spots, it's far away from Allah. That stain of sin actually becomes a barrier. So when that person is tested, they'll move away from Allah. But that's because of there's internal work that needs to happen. Internally, there needs to be purification inside. Now, if that does happen, that we are moving away from Allah by our hardships, does that mean that's it for us? Okay, that's it. I should just give up. I'm hopeless. It's hopeless. There's no point in trying now. Because Yasmin said that if it takes me away from Allah, then it means Allah is not pleased with me. So that's it. Why not? Because a lot of you are going to feel that way. Why not?
Do not despair of the mercy of Allah.
Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Absolutely right. Every single person in this room is still breathing, right? Hopefully. Every single person in this room is still breathing. You know what that means? That means that there's still hope. It means that there's absolutely no reason to despair because you're still breathing. And if I have been ungrateful, or if I have moved away from Allah because of my pain, I'm still alive and I can fix it. And I can fix it. How do I fix it? Number one, this is why I go back to definitions. Number one is understanding why these things happen. Understanding that they have a purpose. That's incredibly important. Understanding that not only do they have a purpose, but they're intended to be good for me. Allah is not intending bad for me, but Allah wants to bring us back to Him, and Allah wants to purify us. But I have to internalize that and understand that before I can fix it. I have to understand that everything happens with a purpose. Everything happens with a purpose. signs in the heavens of earth. There was a clue in these ayahs that told us how we can understand this world properly and understand our life experiences properly. Does anyone know what it was? Yeah. Exactly. Remember how it said, "Al-ladina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim." Those who remember Allah standing and sitting on their sides. You know what this is talking about? It's talking about the remembrance of Allah. That in order for us to have that insight, that ability to understand and respond properly to our life and to everything happening around us, such as conflict, etc., is that we have to be among those people who remember Allah standing and sitting on our sides. If we are not remembering Allah and remembering Him a lot and remembering Him in all aspects of our life, because you have to understand, Allah doesn't say those who remember Allah, full stop. He doesn't say those who remember Allah and that's it. He says what? He says those who remember Allah standing and sitting and on their sides. It's something very specific that Allah is showing us that they remember Allah all the time. You know what I mean? All the time. When you study the Prophet in his life, it's so fascinating that there was a dua for every motion. Everything he did, there was a dua. You know what I mean? Have y'all ever read, like, Fortress of Austin? Have you ever read it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's just a collection of du'as. And you can get it on your phone, but don't worry right now. Fortress of Austin, this collection of du'as, is the du'a of the Prophet. You know there's a du'a for everything. There is a du'a for eating. There's a du'a for finishing eating. There's a du'a for leaving the house. There's a du'a for coming into the house. There's a du'a for going into the bathroom. There's a du'a for leaving the bathroom. There's a du'a for driving. There's a du'a for traveling. There's a du'a for new clothes. There's even a du'a for intimacy. There's a du'a for everything. And what is this teaching us? What do you think this example of Rasulullah is teaching us? They are those who are remembering Allah standing and sitting on their sides. They're not only remembering Allah at Jum'ah, you know what I'm saying, Friday, or in Ramadan. They're not only remembering Allah, you know, on Eid or once in a while, or when it's convenient. They're remembering Allah all the time. When they're driving, when they're eating, when they're happy, when they're sad, when they get what they want, and also when they don't get what they want. You guys understand? Also when they don't get what they want. When they're strong, and also when they're weak. This is what Allah is telling us, standing and sitting on our side. And unless you do that, unless you're a person of dhikr, unless you're a person who remembers Allah a lot, and remembers Allah in all walks of life, you will not be able to come to these conclusions. What are these conclusions? We just said, رَبَّنَا خَلَقْتَهَا وَرَبَّنَا سُبْحَانَهُ. What is that conclusion, guys? Ya Allah, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, you have not created all of this without us. Are you guys following?
Yes.
You sure? Okay. What I've done right now is I am setting up to get to this point of how do I now heal? But before I talk about steps of healing, it's incredibly important to redefine why it is that we get hurt. Why it is that we struggle? Why did these things happen to you? Why do these things happen to you? Why are these things happening to you? Why are these happening to other people? These are questions we have to think about, we have to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us these things to hurt us. He does not give us these things to deprive us. Allah is, by the way, it's very important to understand the attributes of Allah. Okay? And one of the attributes of Allah is that Kareem. You know what Kareem means? The most generous. It doesn't just mean generous, but the most generous and the source of all generosity. Have you ever met a really generous human being? Like one person has? Only one person. to know that if Allah is withholding, it's because of a very important reason. And if He is withholding, He is in fact giving you. Whoa. Do you guys catch that? If Allah is withholding, He is in fact giving. Because Allah is the most generous. We've already talked about that, right? When Allah withholds, He's giving you something else. But what happens is we focus so much on what we don't have, right? And we don't understand, we're not able to see what we do have and what He is giving us. If you go back, and I want, because this is a personal journey, if you go back and redefine your life, remember we're going to go back, we're going to go back into our life experiences and we're going to start to look at them differently. When you do that, ask yourself this question. While I was going through this trial, maybe I lost this certain thing, okay? Or maybe there was something I really wanted that I didn't get. But what did you get? What did you gain in your character? What did you gain in your nearness to Allah? You follow me? How did it build you as a human being? So you see that even while He was withholding, He was actually giving. See, a person never learns strength if they never waits. You know? Like, you're not going to become strong. If anybody wants to build muscle, what do they have to do? You have to lift. And the more you lift and the heavier you lift, the more you build muscle. This is just a physical reality, right? It's the same thing in the unseen reality, in the spiritual reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you strength. He might have been withholding something else, but He was giving you something that He never just withholds to withhold. And even when He takes, He's giving. And even when He withholds, He's bestowing. He's always giving. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. Is this making sense? Okay. I want to now move into healing, the healing process. Okay? Sometimes we go through experiences in life that absolutely wound us. Absolutely wound us. And in order to talk about healing that, I want you guys to think of the physical body. The physical body, how does it heal? Imagine someone gets a gunshot wound. Now, if that person who has the gunshot wound says, you know what, I'm just going to put a band-aid on it and pretend it's not there. What's going to happen? Anyone? It's going to actually get infected. And eventually they'll have to amputate the limb. Understand? And that's why did that happen? Isn't time supposed to heal all wounds? Why did that gunshot wound just heal itself?
Well, you can pretend that it's not
But is that making anything different? The fact that you're pretending, is that changing what's happening in your arm or in your womb? Is it? No. You're just denying reality. Are you guys following? You're denying reality and it doesn't change the reality. You're not healing it because you pretended like it wasn't there. You actually have to go through a process of treating the wound before you can say that time is going to heal it. Now with emotional wounds, it's the same. I can't pretend like it's not there and suppress it and it's just going to go away because it doesn't work like that. Just like the gunshot wound, it actually just festers and gets infected and it doesn't go away. And what you end up seeing is these symptoms that come because you're not addressing the actual root of the problem. Symptoms that you're going to see because you didn't address the original wound and you aren't following. So you have to address the wound and you have to treat it. Now, how do you treat and address emotional wounds? Well, here's what you got to do. What do you got to do with the gunshot? You got to take the bullet out and you have to get in there. You know what I mean? And you have to get in there and you got to clean. You know? Is that process fun? Does that process hurt? Yes. Is it enjoyable? No. But you have to do it. Are you guys following? You have to do it. Why? Because it's a process of healing. It's part of the process of healing. You cannot heal a gunshot wound without cleaning it out. And any doctor knows this. You have to treat it. And you can't pretend it's not there. And you can't just cover it up. You got to open it up and you got to clean it out. And yes, I understand that that's not a fun process. But neither is cleaning a gunshot wound. It's not fun. And it doesn't feel good. But believe me, it will save you so much future pain. Because what happened to that gunshot wound that you didn't treat? Well, now you're going to have to amputate. Because you left it, it actually got worse. So you're not helping yourself. You're not doing yourself a favor by not addressing it. You're just actually causing more pain and more... You know what you're doing? You're like staying stuck. It's like you're just pausing the pain. It's like you had a trauma or you had a loss. You had something painful in your life. And what you're doing is you're actually keeping yourself there. You're not allowing yourself to move on. And you think that you're moving on because you pretended like it's not there. But you haven't actually moved. What you've done is you've pressed pause on the healing process. Everyone follow? Alright. How do we clean out emotional wounds? I'll tell you two things. Number one, and this is absolutely essential. One is essential, one is optional, depending on the situation. Alright? Everyone with me? Okay. What's essential? The essential part of cleaning the wound is you have to be real, you have to acknowledge, and you have to turn to Allah. You have to. And when you turn to Allah, you don't pretend. You cannot hide from Allah, guys. You cannot pretend with Allah. You can't be like, oh, no, I'm fine. No. Your arm is oozing, yeah? And you're saying you're fine. It's not going to work. You have to learn to be real with Allah and with yourself. And there is absolutely no healing whatsoever if you're not going to be real with yourself and with Allah. Okay? This whole fakeness that we have, this whole mask that we wear, it's not going to work if you want to heal. Is that clear enough? You will not heal if you continue to wear these masks and you continue to pretend. It's just not going to happen. It's just like a person with a gunshot wound who says, actually, I don't have a gunshot wound. I'm fine. They're never going to heal because they haven't even acknowledged and they haven't. have to think about. You have to be real with Allah, and you have to be real with yourself. What does that mean practically? Do you want me to tell you? Here's what it means. It means a lot of PM, means a lot of dua, it means a lot of crying. Yeah, no, it's not fun. But you know what? Allah created tears for a reason. You know that? You know that if you look at even the scientific, like the makeup, the molecular makeup of tears, emotional tears, they're different than if you tear up just because you got sand in your eyes. Your eyes actually make, if you look under a microscope, it's actually composed, like the composition is different. You know why? Because Allah created tears, emotional tears, as a cleansing. It's designed to help you heal. It's actually designed to help you heal. What's going to happen when you block that process? When you say, oh no, I'm strong. This is one of my pet peeves. Is this idea that being strong means you don't cry. You know what's one of the most harmful myths we have out there? It's one of the most harmful myths we have. Being strong means you don't cry.